Well, these are certainly exciting times. And it's, believe me, it's not time to run for the tall grass. It's not. This is, I believe, can be the church's finest hour. And I've got all sorts of, and the presentation I normally give is sort of out the window, and I've been, because things have changed so rapidly. I was listening to Joan and my jaw dropped because what she was sharing, I'm going to be really sharing from another angle. And I think what a clear picture you'll get of how awesome our God is. He moves nations like it's a checkerboard. And he builds for generations to bring it to a head like now. So what I want to do is I want to show you a scripture from Revelation first. And then I want to talk about prophecy. I want to talk here of current prophecy. I mean, we're living in prophecy right now. The very moment we're in, I want to share from my book as America has done to Israel, and just show you like the big picture of what God is doing. And things that I wrote about and spoke about years ago are literally manifesting itself right now in front of us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 16, starting at verse 14. I'm going to read verse 14 and 16 together. I'm going to leave 15 out. Then I'm going to discuss verse 15. Verse 14, "For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and unto the whole world, and gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them, together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon." Now, when you read Revelation chapter 16 and you read verse 14 and 16 together, notice how it flows so nicely. It just, they were meant to be together. And as a prophecy student, as I study prophecy virtually all my life with the Lord, verse 15 didn't fit. It kind of interrupted the flow. And for years, that bothered me. Why verse 15 was between 14 and 16 when 16 flowed together so well? So now let's read verse 15. "Behold, I," now that's the Lord, right, "comes as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." What I've come to realize, the Lord put that verse in there because we're to focus on his coming and not Armageddon. That's why, right in the very heart of the scriptures, Revelation chapter 16, which is about God gathering the nations for judgment and all the kings of the earth and all this economic stuff that we've just seen will all be a part of this. Right in the middle of those scriptures, God puts, "Don't look at that. Even though it's going to happen, watch for his coming." Do I hear an amen? Amen? Does everybody see that? And I said, "Wow, Lord, now I understand." Because if I had written the Bible, I wouldn't have put verse 15 in there. You follow? And I didn't know for years. I mean, I've been studying the scriptures now since 1974 when I came to the Lord as my Savior. Why, Lord? Why do you have verse 15 in there? It doesn't fit, but it does fit. It's to tell us, when you see these things happening, when you see it all come to pass, when you see the economic system for 666 developing, when you see the nations gathering in the Middle East for Armageddon, don't focus on that. Focus and look at the Lord's coming. Now, isn't there encouragement in that?
Amen.
See, because if I don't do that, if I don't give you that encouragement about the Lord's second coming, all this stuff can overwhelm you. Because when we look at Luke 21, I believe it's verse 26, 28, it tells you that men's hearts will fail them for looking upon things which come upon the earth. And then it says the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So there is such dynamics coming together that people are literally going to die just seeing this all coming together. That's how powerful it's going to be. So we're not to focus on that. We're to focus and keep our eyes on the Lord's second coming, and we're to run to the battle. We're not to run for the tall grass, we're to run for the battle. Now, I just want to share a little bit about my book, because it'll about history in the book, because it'll put the setting for where I'm going to lead to. In this book, my ministry for the Lord is really as an apologist. That's really what I am, and I always speak about the Lord's second coming. So in the book, I prove the authority of God's word based on Genesis 12:3 by, "If you bless the Jewish people, you'll be blessed. bless Abraham, and the Jewish people would be blessed. If you curse them, you'd be cursed. And I go into American history to show how unique America has been blessing the Jewish people, which no one knows. It seems like the further back you go in American history, the less we know about America's dealing with the Jews. And I can't go into this now because we don't have time, but I start from George Washington, and I come all the ways up today from the American Revolution, all the ways up today to show how America has unique in world history, blessing the Jewish people, and how we are unique in world history. As we blessed the Jewish people and gave them freedom, God blessed us and gave us freedom. And I'd love to spend the entire time on that because it's really worth you knowing, but it's in the book. So I recommend the book just to get the foundation of history. So I'm showing that America has been blessed based on the authority of God's word. The things that we have been blessed with through history just didn't happen. We didn't stumble into it. God was there, and he was blessing us as we blessed the Jewish people. Now, we jump forward in history to the late 1800s, and a tremendous revival was taking place in America about 120 years ago. And it was a continual revival. It wasn't like a big spike for 6 months. It was just a continual revival. And the great evangelists came out of that time. We know D.L. Moody, if you know anything about the church history, and R.A. Torrey, and many others. And one of the focus, or the main focus, on this revival was the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tied with that was the literal restoration of the nation of Israel. And that's kind of unique. People that studied church history, it's unique to the United States. If you go over to Europe and other places, they don't have any interest in Israel. Most of it is God's finished with the nation of Israel, and then the replacement theology. But America was different. And this great revival was taking place. And in the midst of the revival, the Jews were fleeing Russia for their life. And they were pouring into America. The quote, Russian Orthodox Church was gleeful to drive them out. No European nation would accept them. And America opened up our arms to the Russian Jews. And most of the population of the Jews in America come from this great immigration from Russia. There was probably somewhere between 2 and 3 million that eventually came. They left Russia and they came here. And it's very touching. I have quotes in the book about the Russian Jews getting ready to leave and come to America, and how they were, with such anticipation, they heard, in fact, they called America the famous land. That's what the Russian Jews called America. They heard that in America, a Jew could be a senator or a mayor or a governor, and they could be free to worship the God of Israel as a Jew and not face what they had to face in Europe. So they came over, and I show in the book, at the very year that they started to come over, 1881, is when God began to raise up America as a world power. It's eerie. It's God's word. You can see it. I parallel how America is being raised up as a world power as we open our doors and let the Jews come in. So at the same time this is all happening, a revival is taking place in America. Do you understand that? Can you see what I'm driving at? So the church now, rose to the occasion, the American church rose to the occasion, and they begin to help the Jews pouring in. They begin to help them with food. They begin to help them with clothing. They begin to help them with shelter and all sorts of things. And it was sort of unconditional. They were Jews. The church here recognized that they were still had the covenant, that they honored the covenant that was the Jewish people have with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Of course, they would preach the gospel also, but they honored the covenant, and they blessed the Jewish people, the church did, and God was greatly blessing America as being raised as a world power. And then it touched the heart of the church in the United States when they saw the condition of the Jewish people and how downtrodden they were, how poor they were, how they were destitute. And this is throughout the country. This isn't isolated to any location now. This is throughout the country. It was sort of like just a massive move. It came to the church that it's time for God to restore the Jews back to Palestine, as it was called then. And I'd love to give you a lot of detail on it because it would be a teaching in itself, but the actual foundation for the nation of Israel was birthed here. The actual Zionist